Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Oh boy, the Lions draft is over, and we are loving it. Plain and simple, we'll be talking and reacting about the 2021 NFL draft, about the Detroit Lions and how they might be building identity, building a lot of optimism going forward. This thing, it's real, and it's over now. We've been talking about it for months, and now it's just over. So we'll react to that. We'll give our grades on the draft, react to everything from round one to round seven, a little bit of information about the undrafted free agents. Also of note, just going forward, we'll try to make a podcast every couple weeks or so in this offseason. So it's 4 months till the actual season starts. So hopefully we have more things to talk about. But we'll try to keep it interesting for you. But right now, NFL draft reactions and grades. So sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording this on May 3rd. The NFL draft has officially wrapped up, and the Lions making a big splash with the picks. Big, mean, tough. We'll get into all of that, but before we do, let's introduce. We got the whole Blue Kool-Aid crew here, so let's go around the horn. So we got Bob, Connor,
hey, hey,
Red Dog,
yo,
and then last but not least, UJ.
Hey, Kool-Aid drinkers.
All right, I'm Big Z. So, gentlemen, I mean. You talk about big, big, big drafts, literally and metaphorically.
Love it.
I mean, let's just take it one pick at a time. So in the first round, the Lions go with Penei Sewell, right? Is it Penei? I think
Penei.
It's Penei.
Penei.
Yeah, Penei.
Penei, tomato, tomato.
Right. So the 20-year-old out of Oregon. Just a mammoth, known as widely accepted amongst most people, at least, as the top offensive tackle in this draft. Some people had Rashawn Slater, but I mean, this guy is. I didn't.
Hello there.
I think I mentioned that some scouts out there had Slater above him, but overall, I mean, let's start with Sewell. You, UJ. What are your thoughts on Sewell and the pick here?
Wow. First of all, the draft god shined upon us that day. Getting Sewell was just an amazing piece of luck that we got him. Didn't have to move up to get him or anything. As I was watching the draft, I really thought he'd be gone with the Bengals until I realized that Jamar Chase was actually an LSU guy, and they threw Burrow through to him all the time. So maybe there's a chance they'll take him.
You realize that, right? I go, that's the fifth pick was coming up.
I guess I never really put it together. So I did. As I'm watching, a little light bulb went on above my head. And I looked up and there, how did I get there? And then anyway, I thought the Dolphins. Yeah.
I believe you had Slater.
Yeah. It's one of those ones like, Slater, when you get the little crank up generator thing. They lit for a second.
Oh.
But no. And then we just got lucky and just, man, I think it's a no brainer pick for the Lions. Just awesome pick. Awesome pick. Our line should be dominant for years. This is really going to be a big help to the team as we build. So I have nothing at all bad to say. I just look forward to seeing this guy play in a Lions uniform.
Rud Dog, you. What's your thoughts?
Oh, man. Oh, I mean, absolute beast. This guy it's incredible. A guy like this built this big can move like he does. This is like one of those generational type tackles. The only thing against him is like slightly shorter arms than ideal, but the way he moves, I don't think it's going to be too much of a problem. This guy's a grade A stud. I am so psyched. You know, actually, Big Z, I put together my idea that Ja'Marr Chase was going to go to the Bengals
like
too.
A 2 watt bulb or something, live stream. Just faintly glowing.
Barney was like, you know, Burrow's been lobbying for this guy to the front office, like really begging for him. And when he's had as bad O-line time as he's had, or protection as he's had the last few years, you know, that means a lot to him to get this guy. So just so you know, your podcast helped me make that pick, but no,
you're welcome.
So thanks for that. Overall, man, this, I couldn't have asked for a better pick other than, you know, maybe the best quarterback, but no, this was great.
Right. Bob, what do you think of the pick compared to who was left on the board for us there? And I also want to throw in the fact, you know, the Bears had the trade up to 11. They gave up their next year's first rounder, a fourth and a fifth. So do you wish the Lions had considered maybe moving back? And then what do you think of the pick compared to what was on the board? that was a very happy draft room.
Yeah. Oh my god, it was so great. I love the video.
Slamming his hand on the desk like a madman.
Yeah, so
twice. They thought about it twice.
Got it. Connor, what do you yeah, go ahead. or they take another quarterback.
That's great, right. Bob.
Well, no, because
what an observation.
What I was saying from the beginning, as soon as I saw this draft board, is the guy Connor was kind of sold.
What are your thoughts?
I didn't think anyone in hell he'd fall to us.
I really like the pick.
I was like,
it was quite a gamble.
Like the guys in the
not
draft
trading
room,
up,
like, running
like,
around,
they, it
slapped each
seemed
other
very
back.
Clear
I'm
that
so
he
excited.
Was their guy. Like that's, early that's, on, I know they meant Brad Holmes mentioned there were three guys. Yeah. I'm guessing Kyle Pitts was.
It's awesome,
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence might have been the third.
I know they had talked about possibly.
Yeah, they thought about
together,
it twice, and then
they
stuck
like
with it, and
out.
He fell.
And they talked.
And I've seen reports
they
that he's
about,
like the most.
They looked at
sure
stuff about trading back, but I think when they
class
saw him there,
I mean,
they didn't want to
sure
lose him.
I love the Hall of Fame predictions.
They're really excited about
yeah
it.
Right after the draft, they're my favorite.
No pressure.
So. He makes one of the best throw lines.
One more thing,
in the NFL.
Red Dog was saying about,
I mean, Jared Goff,
Ja'Marr Chase
quarterbacks is going to need that.
How about
that? It's
when Aaron Rodgers
Swift, it's going to help. It's going to help everybody. So I think this is he's going to be a piece of this team for a very long time.
Yeah, right.
Definitely. So now we have Taylor Decker just sign a new contract.
Different
extension.
Approach.
Ragnow looks like he's going to get an extension soon. They picked up his fifth-year option, but they are working on getting him an extension. That's what the reports are saying.
Please.
Then you have Jonah Jackson. You know, going into
and
second
then Logan
year.
Stenberg, right guard Logan Stenberg.
Maybe.
He's get,
oh,
he does have the meanness, that is for sure.
Yeah, we don't know what he's like after a year in the league now. So.
At least for this year, it looks like Big V will be at right guard. Let's pray to God he's healthy and he can live up to the, you know, what the Lions are paying him, then that's a hell of a right guard to go along with Sewell at right tackle. Then you got yourself absolutely one hell of an O-line.
Beefy right side, too.
I mean, I was hoping for Kyle Pitts at the beginning of the night. I knew it was a pipe dream. Even in my mock draft, I knew it was a pipe dream. But I really wanted to see it happen, so I was a little disappointed. But I mean, this guy is awesome. If you watch his tape, he's a mauler. Super athletic, a heavy improvement over anything we've had at right tackle in a while, least based on what we
hey, Logan Stenberg has that kind of meanness.
I just wish Matt Stafford maybe had him as his right tackle.
If the skills got
to it'll
you know,
be a little bit
out,
of a bummer not to have this
like
offensive line with him behind. So we'll see what Jared Goff can do.
He would have if he didn't leave.
Yeah. But
that is literally true.
Yes, that is literally true. Correct. but I do like it, and I love the fact that he is 20. Like, there's a bunch of those guys in this draft coming out of.
Did you like the pick?
24. What was your 25 during the season at some point? This guy's 20 years old. When his contract's up, he'll be 25. So we can have this guy for a really, really long time in a Lions uniform, be a backbone of this offensive line for a long time. And I love the fact that the Lions have now built like this continuity on the most important position group that needs that continuity. Now, yes. I mean, that all depends on health and stuff, but
they're more likely to stay healthy with a good line next to them than they are with a hodgepodge. I can tell you that much.
Oh yeah,
the guys next to you make a huge difference, so that'll prevent injuries if they're just all gelling.
Definitely, that is absolutely right. Unless we have a 3-guard rotation going on, like from the early Patricia days.
God, please,
Graham
no.
Glasgow days. Still one of the most bizarre things.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. It's awesome. The Lions did not address a wide receiver, but maybe we'll get to that in a moment. They did, but not to. They didn't get Devontae Smith or something.
People are going to get off his back when they picked what's his face.
Oh, Amon Ross St. Brown. We'll get to him in a moment. But so that's the first round. Let's move on to the. Let's combine the second and third round here because Penei Sewell, all right, like best one, but nobody knew where the Lions were going to go in the second round. They went all in on what I feel is like just this new energy and identity that the Lions have been. It was unpredictable yet very predictable when we see the results based on everything we've heard in the offseason. If I saw this quote by Levi Onwuzurike, our second rounder, that said he was going to fuck shit up in the backfield.
Yeah, this could be a unit, though.
I would have mocked him right away. I did not see that quote before like that the draft.
He's going to get a share of kneecap, that's for sure.
Definitely. So the Lions go Levi Onwuzurike, a D tackle, 6'3", 290, and then a Lee McNeil in the third round, and he is 6'2", 317. Both are very freakish athletes.
Mm-hmm.
This Levi Onwuzurike guy was a top high school recruit for a long time that ended up in Washington.
Ran a 4.83.
That's amazing.
Right.
He seemed pretty critical to their defense. Like, he was running the show over there, which is kind of cool.
Definitely. If you watch he has really good get off, actually. He kind of loses his place a little bit with some bad technique, but that is hopefully stuff you can coach up. What you can't coach up, I think, to a degree, is just the the motor that guy has. If you watch his tape, the guy never gives up on a play at any point.
Yes.
And I think they are projecting him as like a 3 technique, a guy that's going to be rushing the passer more so. Three, if you're not familiar listening, a 3 technique is lines up over the guard on the outside shoulder, and they usually get the one-on-ones in a more pass rushing type situation than a nose tackle, which is what at least Aleem McNeil seems to be projected to be playing. Aleem McNeil, his tape's a little underrated too. If you watch it, he had, I believe, over 8 sacks 2 years ago
there.
And then less production this year. But there's times on his tape where he's getting triple teamed and he's double teamed pretty much every play. So I think that's a little underrated. And if you could put him on a good defense, he'll obviously be getting less double teams.
Yeah.
They end up with Milton Williams, who some of us put in our mock draft.
When he goes to fist bump the GM or whatever.
Yeah, well, the GM was going around trying to fist bump everybody, and everybody looked pissed. Like, he was, like, trying to make everybody happy.
The player development guy just, like, looked at him, like, really cold.
It was really funny. It was really funny.
It seems like this guy could really develop into something special, though, if they coach him up well.
Definitely.
I read somewhere he was the number one defensive lineman in the top the 5 top conferences in the country. Number one last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember where I read that, but
he had a really athletic play where he tips the pass against Virginia to himself and runs it in 20 yards away. Kind of outruns some people on the field.
That's
big baseball guy in high school, a really good baseball player. So I'm big fan of that as well.
He's also a running back.
Yeah, was that the one where the linebacker was, and they looked pissed because
he's athletic and he just put on that weight to become a beast.
Have you seen his baseball films? That guy can hit a baseball, man. Holy, he was a pretty good baseball player too. But I just want to say, you know, every regime gives lip service to building the trenches and all that, and this team is actually doing it. I mean, for real. And these two picks, I think, are just going to be huge. It addresses the one biggest concern that we had on this team is the interior rush, pass rush. And these two guys are going to really bolster that a lot. That's the one thing this team for the last 3 years has just had practically zero of. So I think that's going to be the main thing they're addressing here with these two picks. I like them a lot.
I believe the three combined picks are like 938 pounds.
Three
picks in this draft. I mean, just talk about building. I mean, the Lions have been talked about it for months, and they're living up to it in terms of building a culture of toughness, meanness, going to grind you out, going to bite off some kneecaps and everything like that. And this
doesn't Dan Campbell sound like Jesse Ventura or whatever on the phone? Hey, brother, you're going to come in here. You're going to be barring something big, brother. It's cracking me up, man. I loved it. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because it all starts in the middle. Like
Brad Holmes said he was considering trading up in the first round to make sure they got this Awunzurike guy. That's my most. He's my most out of all the draft picks we had. He's the one I'm not sure if we got great value on necessarily. Just to be honest. I mean, it's a fun pick for sure. I'm gonna be ruining the hell out of him, and I think he's gonna do great
because
I drink the Kool-Aid. But
I
thought it was a little bit maybe of a reach for the Lions.
I mean.
Based on watching his film more
but
so.
It's pretty cool. They seem to have a very specific approach to this draft.
They could have taken the linebacker from Notre Dame,
which surprised a lot of people that didn't do in round two. They had a specific plan to like bolster these trenches.
The old lineman was like a guard or center, and he generated so much explosion. This guy's whole body just like turned to jelly and he fell down. And they just run straight to the quarterback on a bet. Like, it was one of the most impressive plays I've ever seen by a D-tackle.
Yeah, they had a first round
at any level. If that is rare ability to make that kind of explosion. So, I mean, you can if you hone that kind of potential, this guy could be a stud.
Definitely. Connor, what do you think about these first two picks? So Panay and Levi.
Well, there's no way to tell right now. You're going.
These are fun names
you're
gonna be saying for hopefully many years to come. Both of them opted out. Both of them are opt outs from a year ago. I mean, there's a lot of top draft picks in this draft that
so was Sewell.
But does that concern you?
Yes, yeah,
that's what I'm saying. They're our first two picks. Does that concern you at all?
No, I really like both picks. I mean, you got to shore up the trenches. It doesn't seem like we have a Tavai in this draft. Like, you know, it's not going to be anything that's like a total disaster. We're like three games in. We're like, oh, my God, what are we doing? Like, why did we draft this guy? I think it's very interesting that he's like everyone he's drafted in this draft is like an athlete. Like, there's no question.
Oh, yeah.
No one has to hit the gym. Yeah. Like, everyone has that ability. That seems like something they've really prioritized. Back-to-back D tackles, I don't know. But when your team sucks as bad as we did last year, you can't be mad with any direction. So I like it.
Well, and speaking of athletes, Connor, the last pick in the third round, Ifeatu Melifonwu. We're going to have fun one saying that. We're going to call him Ify for now.
Ify.
Ifeatu Melifonwu. He has actually an older brother in the NFL named Obi. So a lot of fun names coming out of that family. But regardless, this guy, super extremely athletic, which is the reason that the Lions were able to take him to third round. The production not quite there, which is, I think, the reason that he fell to the third round. But you can't deny his athletic ability. He had a. Are you guys familiar with the RAS scoring system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He tested. So they've been. He's been doing it for some odd years, and he out of like the 1,600 plus cornerbacks he's run through the system, he's the 17th ranked cornerback in terms of athleticism in his charts. I believe Kudo mm-hmm. was up there too last year. So, I mean, just a super athlete. Now, hopefully, they can coach him up and get him in the right position to succeed.
You know,
41-inch vertical, I believe. 42-inch vertical. 6'2", 205. That's unbelievable size and speed. Sorry, go ahead, Road Dog.
No, I just thought, if you look at all those scores, yeah, he's got great explosion, great speed. And it's his agility scores is where he's got like a red. So I have a feeling he's going to be more of a safety prospect because he doesn't have the loose hips you generally want at cornerback. But imagine that guy roaming the field with that explosion. Could be incredible.
And Brad Holmes has said as much. They think they can move him around on the field a little bit, play him in the box. So I think they have some some like rushing the passer hopes out of him too.
Oh, nice.
With that speed. But I also think you can play him in cover three, just a guy to put down the field and out jump other receivers on and deep passing situations. You know for sure are going to be there just with that that size and the jumping ability.
Definitely.
And I just want to throw in there that too. That they say he's probably our best bargain of the whole draft, according to a lot of people. That he should have gone a lot sooner, and for us to get him at 101, probably out of all the guys we picked. Probably our best bargain numbers wise.
Definitely.
He can play safety because I know people were talking about slotting him in there because that was a concern of the draft was not getting a safety.
Well, that
I think so.
Right.
Brad Holmes said is they can move him around. He brought up the word safety. I don't know if he's an every down safety. I think it's more situational.
Type is this our new Killebrew?
I don't know, but I think the new coaching staff loves Killebrew. They've mentioned him by name.
I mean, true. I just mean that type of player where you're rooting for with all the athletic talent, wanting to see it work out.
Well, hopefully he'll have an even bigger impact than Killebrew. But it's interesting, these last few picks. I mean, we're all like talking about them now, but going into the draft, nobody knew anything about these guys. I mean, names are like looking these up, like who?
Yeah. You know?
But they seems like they've got some good talent.
Our producer, Kid Jay, on our final mock draft, he brought up Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamar Jefferson going to Lions. So credit to him.
All right.
Kudos, Kid Jay.
Great insight. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the fourth round receiver USC. The Egyptian sun god he's named after. He's the younger brother of Aquarius. Yeah. Equanimeous St. Brown, a Packers receiver.
Equanimeous.
Oh my god, I can never get it right.
Yeah,
he's no Cephas, right? He's not. You know,
I don't know. Ask Red Dog.
Few people are.
His dad was 2-time Mr. Universe too, which is awesome.
Apparently, growing up, first of all, this guy, his mom only speaks German to their kids growing up. So maybe he's like well versed in multiple languages, very smart.
They never understood it either. They're just like, well, I don't know.
why is mom yelling all the time?
Hey, he's named after the Egyptian sun god. Did you know UJ was named after the god of sloth and
gluttony? Oh man.
Daggers.
And I believe Robert was the god of the eternal bums. But I don't know. oh boy.
So Amon-Ra St. Brown,
we need a fight.
Wide receiver out of USC. Not a super athletic wide receiver by any means. He's not going to beat anybody off the top, but a guy that can win the 50-50 ball. Good size, 6'1", 197. But I think the what a lot of people attribute to him is a guy that's just a super physical receiver, kind of fitting into that mantra again, biting off kneecaps, being a super tough team. Everybody we've drafted in this draft has a has been noted for their toughness. Like, they're not going to give up on any plays. They're going to fight to the end of the whistle type guys. And I obviously trying to build out that run game too. Amon-Ra St. Brown, known as one of the better blocking receivers in the draft. So when DeAndre Swift tries to bounce to the outside, those cornerbacks will be driven into the sidelines.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. This guy. So he's going to be our slot guy. So, Rod Dog, we're counting on Quintez Cephas to be our deep threat, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we also just signed a bunch of 4-3s
now.
Quintez Cephas can do it all. That's what you don't get. Like, he can just be inside, outside. He does it all. So,
I don't think you're going to see as many spectacular contested catches with this team going forward. It seems like they're going to rely a lot on just really good route running and good separation.
I agree. That's the kind of guys they're looking for.
Oh, definitely.
Well, we had Stafford. He could put a ball in the places that no one else could. I don't think we have that.
The system will put it better.
Yeah.
We got a couple guys, though, that can still potentially do that. I mean, you got is it Tyrell Williams, the receiver?
I'm not saying no one can do it.
Perryman?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Sean Perryman.
And Bradley.
I mean, I'm not –
they're basically one-year prove-it deals. So these guys have potential.
And again,
we'll see.
Go ahead, Red Dog. Sorry.
I was just saying that I know what Connor's saying, though. I think we're going to not have to rely on that so much with all the speed and route runners we have this year. So that's I definitely agree with that. I don't think it's going to be the mainstay.
But I think there's also something else to note here. Like, the Lions are, I mean, building for the future here. They were going to solve all their problems in one draft. They have two first-round picks going forward in the next two drafts. There's a lot more opportunities to get those wide receivers in the future. And you also have to factor in the salary cap issues. I think that's why the Lions went out and got so many one-year deals. There's a bigger picture at play here, but it will be interesting to see for the upcoming season how the wide receivers kind of work out.
For sure, that's gonna be might be the most interesting position group to watch this year.
Oh, for
Who
sure,
shakes
and,
out.
And it's crazy. You know, last year we were talking about how strong the wide receiver group is. Now it's been completely overturned, like 360.
Seriously,
Cephas, just kind of wild how that.
Except for him.
Decimated. Now Hawk's our big threat. For real. Hey, I mean,
like he should be. He's drafted top 10. So the Lions trade up the very next pick to get Derek Barnes, the inside linebacker out of Purdue.
I like what this do think pick about? A lot.
Love it.
You do, Connor. Why is that?
Like, well, he wasn't as flashy when he was on the outside, but when they moved him into the interior, it seemed like that really fit him well. And I think that's how the Lions are going to use him. And I would have liked to see a linebacker sooner, but for that value at round 4, I think that's awesome. I think that's really going to help out the pass rush. I really like him the more I read about him.
And another super athletic guy, like you mentioned, Connor, the Lions just drafting like pure athletes here, it seems, and relying on their coaching staff to coach these guys up.
No doubt.
At the very minimum, this guy, by all the notes, is going to be at a minimum a very good special teamer for the Lions. So at the very least, in the fourth round, you're getting a guy that's going to contribute there.
I heard some people had him ranked or a better grade than Jared Davis did coming out. He ran actually slightly faster than him, 4.57, and I think Jared Davis ran 4.6. But my favorite thing is that he actually lined up as DN for Purdue a bit. And it held his own against left tackles. If you watch some of his highlights, he jams up the edge by himself as a 238-pound linebacker. That's pretty impressive. So this dude's strong and athletic, and I really like what he might do for this defense.
Definitely. 6 foot, 238. Do you remember what his 40 time was?
4.57.
4.57. So yeah, that's really solid.
Impressive. He benched 29 times at 225.
Yeah, really
37
strong.
37 inch vertical.
Really strong.
Yeah, super strong.
This dude's a beast. Yeah.
And he can cover people too, from what I understand. I watched some of his videos. He looks pretty good in coverage too.
He can't be worse than Gerard Davis was.
No, maybe
not in coverage. You can't. No,
but there, my comparison. Yeah. I think he could be like a Navarro Bowman type for us. I'm calling it now. Bold claim, but I'm calling it.
Well, it could be worse. I mean, Gerard Davis was a starter. I mean, yeah, I know. This guy will be a starter. So I don't know.
Right.
Well, a starter and the worst linebacking core in the NFL.
Well, I'm just saying.
He made a lot of tackles, though. That dude. Go ahead, Bob.
I hope he's better than Jared Davis. I was glad they took a linebacker, though, because I thought they were going to pass on a linebacker.
I did, too. I did, too.
So they hopefully this guy can live up to it.
They need more still.
True.
Yes, they do.
Absolutely.
And he was a lesser name. That guy, the dude Cox from LSU, was a bigger name up there. He was still available too, I think. And we took this guy, so they must really like him a lot.
I'll be really
interested with the mentality. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how I do think that Joker guy from Notre Dame, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, is going to be a good linebacker.
Yeah. I heard he had some like heart issue that made him drop. That was
I knew it, something like that.
But he was cleared, but it caused some concern.
Plus, he was undersized, but I think
And he's a little bit of like the guy the Cardinals drafted last year. He's Simmons. Kind of a in betweener, right? You know, like
Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah.
And then it'll be fun to see how Parsons does in the Cowboys as well.
I saw Bobby went there.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys we have to watch, like Parsons and Justin Fields, you know, we could have had.
I wanted to root for Devonta Smith too, and he goes to the Eagles, so can't that's gone. Forget that.
Yeah, I know.
And then Justin Fields, what do we think about the Bears trading up for Justin Fields?
I think it was a smart move by them.
It's a good move for them, I think.
I was sad to see it happen because I enjoyed all their horrible quarterback play.
I just find it funny. All these Bears fans have been ragging on Ryan Pace for years and years since he's been there pretty much. And then now he seems like the greatest GM for them all of a sudden.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Fickle fan base. Well,
yeah.
Well, it's exciting to get they haven't had a good quarterback ever. I mean, like a really good quarterback. Yeah. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer, which is crazy.
That is crazy, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I hope they never get it, even though they just added a 17th game to the schedule, too. Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
I would love it if he – I have nothing against Justin Fields, but as a Lions fan, I would love to see
But I look forward to the Lions defense just attacking that Bears. That Bears offensive line is horrible. It is very bad, and they just got rid of two more starters this offseason, including their starting left tackle. So they're going to have a rookie left tackle that went that fell to the second round.
And they're going to lose draft capital.
Good reason, probably. What's that? What's that, Connor?
Said, and I feel like they keep punting away the future to try to – I mean, I get they had to get Justin Fields, but I feel like they don't have a ton of draft capital going forward. So.
Oh, yeah, and people keep saying the defense is great. I mean, the Lions have scored 35 points on them in last season. And
their defense is fake. It's not what
they got rid of Akeem Hicks. They got rid of their best cornerback. So I'm not too worried about them.
Wait, did you just say they get rid of Akeem Hicks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or they said they're going to at least this offseason.
Yeah, because I know he was part of an offer for Stafford, Akeem Hicks.
Oh, wow.
And Akeem Hicks, when he's playing great, their defense is great. And we'll see what they do without him.
Yeah. Is he on a team now?
Yeah, he's still on the Bears, but they said they're going to trade him at some point this offseason. So.
Well, I should call Detroit
and
put a call in. You know, maybe we can give up a seventh round pick or something.
I think the Bears are out of draft picks to trade away.
I would take that guy.
There was one more player. No doubt. There was one more player the Lions drafted in the seventh round. There's the third to last pick in the draft, Jamar Jefferson. Yeah, the running back out of Oregon State, 5'10", 206. A guy that easily the best running back in the Pac-12 last year, has had a lot of good production in college. So he's not really a threat in the passing game necessarily, but this is a guy that can still contribute as like a third running back in a roster for sure.
Yeah. Make it return responsibilities possibly.
It'll be interesting to see what the Lions do in the return game.
Yeah.
Can always use more running backs. I saw Justin Rogers was disappointed because he was two picks ahead of Mr. Irrelevant. He wanted that last pick, you know, instead of
The only running back I would have rather seen us get was Trey Sermon in this draft. I had a thing about him. I would love to see him in a Lions uniform, that guy. But yeah, I don't know. I saw
and
this
he's
guy
going to
the
49ers.
He looks decent.
Running backs have succeeded greatly lately.
I know.
Yeah, I thought we didn't really need a running back. I mean, just positional wise, it wasn't necessarily what I wanted, but I'm never mad about adding a young running back. These days, these kids always surprise, it seems. So you never know what you get out of those fresh legs. So I'm not mad about it. And it's like UJ said, his film's good. Like Connor said, you can never have enough good running backs. So
We're going to a running game. I mean, we want to run the ball. We're going to need a stable of running backs. I mean, this is kind of a need.
They'll carry?
You know?
How many guys, open question. How many do you guys think they'll carry?
Probably four.
They have Swift, Williams, carry on the roster.
Yeah, right. So those three for sure.
Four. Unless one of them it becomes a core special teamers that we're not aware of, then maybe five.
Right, exactly.
So he's got a natural spot at four then, unless they try to get a fullback or something going.
Well, we do have a fullback, so.
Oh, so you're not counting
fullback baby.
Four then.
Make the fullbacks.
Yeah.
Great fullback than five. But I believe we will have a fullback based on the history of Anthony Lynn and his.
I hope so. That's great. I like his fit there. Then as the fourth.
I heard Corey Schlesinger is coming out of retirement for the new coaching staff.
What a great guy that would have had to been with this coaching staff.
Oh my god!
I hope they recruit him at some point. Good lord, that'd be amazing. If anyone,
one of my all-time favorite lines.
Yes, my favorite. If anyone can instill grittiness, it's that guy.
Absolutely. Oh. So that was the Lions draft. What grade would you guys give it? Let's go around really quick. What grade did you give the Lions draft here? Let's start with you, Bob.
Well, I mean, it seems like they got what they wanted. So, and it's hard to grade a draft for real, and except for like 2 years down the road or 3 years down the road. But I'll give them an A because it seems like I'm glad they're building up the trenches. They had a plan and they stuck to it. So I'll give it an A.
Connor?
I'm going to go A. Again, waiting on Penei was interesting, but it paid off. So, yeah, I think they got the guys they wanted, so we'll see how it goes.
Red Dog.
I'm going to go A+. These guys did exactly what they said they do. We've had so many coaching staffs come in here and give lip service to their actions and then not follow through. This is the beginning of them doing what they said they do. They built the freaking trenches, baby. That's where football starts. That's the most important position group on either side of the ball. And they dedicated, and actually you could argue, I think I count linebacker as trench too. So they dedicated five or four picks to defense and trenches. And I'm just like, oh, I'm so psyched about all this strength and size that we just added to this team. So A freaking plus.
That's a big ass trench that the linebackers are in it too. Wow.
Well, they get in there.
You got to just dig the trench, baby. Move the rock.
Keep your
shovel
sharp. And
UJ.
I'm going to give it a solid A right now. Obviously, there's a lot of unknowns, but just for what I believe Rudd Dog said, building the trenches, they promised to do it, and they actually followed through on a promise. They fought the urge to go after the shiny object early on in the draft, and they took just solid big mother Joners in the trenches, and they're going to change the whole attitude of this team, man. I'm telling you. And I love it. I love where it's going. And, sort of boring, I guess from the outside looking in, but man, I love the draft personally.
Yeah. I love it too. I'm going to give it an A as well. And you guys are saying, the Lions have established what they want the culture to be, and they are following through on it so far with this draft. I just love that the Lions seem to be building an identity, which we've been missing for a long time in Detroit. And I'm very excited to see that play out. So I give it an A. And I also want to mention as well, I don't know if you guys read some of the national columnists and some of the people that have been doing their big mock drafts, guides. So people that live in the draft process pretty much coming out with their grades and how the Lions did. And I'm seeing a lot of A's as well from them, which is something they have not given in the past in the Bob Quinn era, at the very least, they would give him a lot of C's or D's. For whatever that's worth, I've seen a lot of A's and a lot of respect for the Lions draft here as well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, throughout the history of the Lions, I've seen a lot of A-rated drafts.
Yeah.
But not a lot of, a lot of wins. But I do like this draft, though. But did you guys see what Penei Sewell said to Torrey Petrie right after the draft? He was so excited he wanted to punch someone in the mouth.
Oh, man. I love it.
Perfect.
Way to go, brother. We love you. You're going to be part of something big here, brother.
And then Brad Holmes, when they drafted him, you see he grabbed Rod Wood and like carried him across the room. He was so excited. He didn't remember doing it.
He grabbed Sheila for a half, dude. You see her? I thought he was going to pick her up. And she's a frail little person.
Right.
He looked like he was going to...
Again, it just seems like a very happy draft room. I don't know if you guys read, I think Dan Campbell said, first of all, that they brought their technology for the draft room and out of the Stone Ages. I don't know what they were doing before, but
really, it makes you wonder.
That excites me.
Like maybe using a cell phone rather than like a landline, perhaps. I don't know.
As an aside, did everyone like seeing Patricia sitting there in the Patriots? Wearing his mask.
He made a pick on TV for them as well.
With his father, Bill.
Did he? Yeah. I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's right.
God.
Yeah, it is funny.
I don't know.
So,
hey, Dad, can I call the pick on Dad?
All right, Matt, go ahead.
But you can't show any emotion. You can't have any fun doing it.
Yeah, make sure you don't have fun or don't smile.
Yeah, that's the Quinn and Patricia, they brought a joylessness to the Detroit.
They took away cornhole, right? And
they took away cornhole, ping pong, all that stuff. They just said, no fun for you.
Yeah.
I was, me and you were talking about what's his face, our tight end, Bob Quinn pulled him aside and was like, you're not the guy
Hockenson?
We drafted. Yeah, Hockenson.
Yeah, you're having too much fun out there, he said, right?
You're having too much fun. You're not the guy we drafted. And he's like, what the hell? Like, what do you mean?
Well, I heard what Dan, this new draft or this new coaching staff is doing. You know, what's his name? Patricia put the hill, you know, up the hill these guys run up.
Right.
Well, they're now inverting the hill, and they're making it downhill. So it's easier for the guys to run down. So
turn into like a slip and slide?
And they're going to have a lot more fun.
Yeah. A lot more this fun. Time, now when they practice in the snow, they're going to just go sledding.
Oh, man. So just a couple of notes as well on the undrafted free agents. There's always one or two that kind of stick out. The one that sticks out most is based on the amount of money they gave him. Notre Dame receiver Javon McKinley. Now, this is a guy that ran a 4.78 40, so he's not going to burn anybody. But a very... productive receiver for Notre Dame, caught 42 catches for 717 yards, 3 touchdowns, 6'2", 215. So it's more with the size that they're going for right here, but also known as a very physical receiver, benched 225 20 times on his pro day. So that's really good for a wide receiver.
That's impressive.
They gave him $100,000 guaranteed in addition to a $15,000 signing bonus. When that type of money is given out for undrafted free agents, usually it indicates they have a very good chance of making the roster. So, again, that's
I think the last guy was Bunch Bagel that got that kind of
money. Right.
Yeah, they did pay up for him. I remember that.
But, he did stay around for a while.
He did, too.
Javon McKinley. And then a couple other notable ones as well. Wide receiver Arkansas State wide receiver Jonathan Adams. 79 catches, 1,100 yards, and 12 touchdowns last year for them. 6'3", so a lot of tall wide receivers in this undrafted free agent class. Kansas State cornerback got $35,000, which is pretty good.
Sage Surratt's the guy people have been talking about.
Really productive wide receiver out of Wake Forest.
Is he related to Chaz Surratt?
He is. That's his brother. That's a fourth round linebacker that went to the Vikings. Unfortunately, I don't want to see him in the division because I like him a lot. Three Notre Dame guys, though. So that receiver, then guard Tommy Kramer, and then tight end Brock Wright. Nobody from the state of Michigan drafted by the Lions.
Wow.
Either undrafted or drafted, which I always find interesting. Usually there's one. but not in that case. Yeah. And Bob, I believe.
But Penny Sewell used to play as the Lions on his Madden team. So that's got that going for him.
Maybe that's the problem, all the Michigan guys that have been coming to the team. Out of state. Outside.
Bob, you said Michigan State, nobody drafting from them, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's like the first time in
that's crazy.
Decades.
That's wild.
That's pretty crazy.
That is really crazy. But like as a Michigan fan, I don't mind it so much. So.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do, it sounds like. But yeah, the Surratt, very interesting. He is 6'3", caught 66 passes for 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns in 2019. He opted out last year.
Yeah, these guys are – I always root for these undrafted guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Still waiting for Tom Kennedy to make the roster. who was the other one that we rooted for a long time? Never made it. Little white guy.
Billy's got a lot.
I can't remember for the life of me. Oh, it's going to bother me right now.
I was going to say Tim Tune, but he was
– Not Tim Tune.
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
Zach Zenner.
Oh, it's going to bother me. I guess we'll have to talk about it in the next episode. Oh, somebody, man. But, yeah, a lot of positive vibes here going forward. The Lions drafting tough guys that are ready to bite some kneecaps this year. But now the draft is over. We talk about it for months and it ends.
I know.
Just like anything else, unfortunately. Right. So now just on to OTAs and training camp and the season, which we are 4 months away from, unfortunately. Oh, man. So, I mean, just stay tuned, listeners, for podcasts coming up. We'll probably be doing them every 2 weeks or so. Over the next few months until things start ramping up again. But please stay with us. Instagram, Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be with you trying to provide you some exciting content where it would be fit. And who knows, maybe we'll have some things to react to, like if Aaron Rodgers moves on from the Packers, which would be phenomenal.
But they bench him for Jordan Love.
Yeah, did you guys like? Did you see that Rodgers wants like the GM fired, or he's not going to come back? That just
yeah, I did
really
see that.
Fascinating and, stuff going on.
Hey, there. And Z, isn't it like after today or tomorrow? Like, there's no compensatory picks for free agents. I think it's open season on free agents. I don't know what the date is on that.
I'm not sure about that, but I don't think. You're going to get too many after this point already, just the way I think the math works. I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, unless like guys like Akeem Hicks say they don't want to pay him, and they cut him instead.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
You know, so there'll probably be guys to pick up later, you know.
Then roster cuts, of course.
Definitely. Yeah. I know June 1 is a big roster day, too. Like Aaron Rodgers, if he was to get traded, it wouldn't happen until after June 1st because of something with the roster and bonuses and salary things above my pay grade here on Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. But okay, gentlemen, we're going to, our producer KJ just chiming in with a note. You can sign free agents now without the comp pick formula impacting it.
Oh, there you go. That's thanks.
All right, KJ.
KJ, always on point.
Awesome producer of our podcast here. So thank you everybody for listening. Like I said, we'll be trying to put out content here every couple of weeks to keep you engaged and get you excited for the 2021 Super Bowl season of the Detroit Lions. Dan Campbell led, Brad Holmes led. So,
thank you, brother. Building something big here, brother. Want you to be part of it.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go.
Field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain. a Lions victory.
Go!
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.